Lord, we thank you for this service, God. We thank you, Lord, that how amazing it is to be able to just worship in your presence, Lord. And everyone, everybody in your homes right now, just lift up your hands. Let us respond right now. Let us open up our hearts and just, did you guys know that God wants to speak to you? He has a desire to speak to you. You know how he speaks to you? By living inside of you. How amazing is that? And sorry, we're praying. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Angel, worship with me. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We lift up the name of Jesus that has all authority and all power, and how amazing it is that we get to come together alongside Jesus, walk as he walked, speak as he spoke, heal like he healed, act like he acted, think like he thought. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Walk in the power that Jesus walked in. The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of us. The Bible says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And in another book, Paul says that your body is a temple where the Spirit of God dwells. I have my phone here with me, and so I'm going to do my best to reference to it, but if anybody needs healing tonight, tell me, and I'll pray for you guys. I hope that you guys don't mind me praying for the sick every single time I speak, but the Jesus fact is that every single time I've done it, I've heard testimonies of people getting healed. And even if only one person gets healed every time I speak, it is worth it. But all I'm doing is I'm just walking as Jesus walked. On Monday, I was telling Souls of Youth, on Monday we read Matthew chapter 9. And if you haven't read Matthew chapter 9, read Matthew chapter 9 and you will get a great look, a glimpse of a day in the life of Jesus. He heals blind people. He heals mute people. He heals, you know, the woman with the issue of blood is in that story. The ruler that goes to Jesus and, you know, has him heal his daughter or servant. I forget which one it was. Daughter. That happens in that story. Jesus recruits a Matthew the tax collector. Jesus just goes around and he's not only preaching, but he is healing. I will pray for that. I will pray for that. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Everywhere Jesus spoke, he healed and occasionally fed. I don't have cheeseburgers for you guys tonight. I'm sorry. Maybe next time. But although someone has one cheeseburger, maybe we can try to pray for it and it'll multiply. I don't want a cheeseburger, actually. Never mind. Not the point. Everywhere Jesus went, he not only spoke, but he healed. And in the book of Acts, it says that the disciples and the apostles, they confirmed the word of God with signs and wonders. It left, the people of the world were left in awe and amazement. And here's what they said about the disciples. Wow, these men have come and they've turned the world upside down. Amen. The kingdom of God is upside down for the world. But for us, it's right side up. And we're on the right side, amen. In reference to what Shale was speaking about at the end of worship. Titling his message, Jesus Movement. Because I believe the world is in desperate need of a Jesus movement. In a world that is dark, confused, hurt, angry, how much more does the world need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who was able to walk into every situation and just change the atmosphere? How amazing would it be if every single one of us were able to walk into a room where people were upset or angry or confused, and we could just change the atmosphere, not because we said anything, not even because we did anything, simply because we are in that room. Not only the disciples, but people that followed Jesus, like, you know, in the temple, or people that were looking or not looking, but, well, I'll give you an example. When Jesus reads out of Isaiah, it says, you know, I've been sent to set, you know, set the captives free, and I've came to do all those things. The prophecy from Isaiah. And people look at Jesus and like, oh my gosh, like, no one's ever spoken with such authority. All he was doing was reading the Old Testament. There's a difference when the religious people who aren't filled with the Spirit of God read the Bible, and there's a difference between those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and then they speak the Word of God. That carries weight. Amen. Amen. In order for us to initiate or to press into a Jesus movement, because Jesus is the answer. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the issue is. Jesus is the answer, and he will always be the answer. Amen? Yeah. I thought I would have surely gotten some amens on Jesus is the answer. I hope I don't say things, and you guys tune out because they're cliche, because the Bible cannot become cliche to us. It really cannot. Every time we hear scripture, we need to take it as the word of God, because that's what it is. So Jesus movement. The world needs a Jesus movement, and it starts with us. Everyone say, it starts with me. But it doesn't just only start with you, but it starts with you and the person next to you, and the person next to you, and the person with you, and your family. See, one person going out into the street saying, I love Jesus, that's great. I haven't seen him in a while, but there's a guy who, in Pico Rivera, he runs all throughout Pico saying, hallelujah! And he said, you know, he said, is it I love Jesus or Jesus loves you shirt? Jesus hearts you. Well, Jesus loves you.
He ran by my house just the other day.
The other day, he's still alive. Great. So he's still running, and he runs wearing a t-shirt saying, Jesus loves you, right? That is amazing. That is, put in perspective, he does that blesses me. But him running like that every single day, that's not a movement. If 100 people were running, doing the exact same thing with him, that would be a movement. That would get people's attention. It'd be really easy for them to discount that one person running saying, hallelujah, Jesus loves you. But 100 people doing that every single day throughout Pico Rivera, you really think strongholds wouldn't be broken? You really think drug addicts wouldn't be set free simply because the presence of God is passing by them? We cannot underestimate the power of God. There's apostles who their mere shadow would heal people on the street. The man in the book of Acts who turned the world upside down, that was a Jesus movement. And we can have the same thing. But it requires a group of people, whole community, hope at home. It requires us to be united as a group. A movement is made up of individuals, but those individuals need to make up a group that is united. In the book of Acts, in the beginning, Jesus tells his disciples, I know you guys are excited to heal. I know you're excited to preach. I know you're excited to go out there and just love the hell out of people. It's a joke. Get it? Loving the hell out of people. Anyways, thank one person. I'm kidding. Many people. I lost my train of thought.
Loving people.
The disciples, they're excited to go out there and do everything that Jesus taught them to do, showed them how to do. They're like, man, we're going to go be Jesus to the world. We're going to go get people saved and go love the hell out of people. We're going to feed people. We're going to heal the sick. Man, and Jesus said, man, that we're going to do greater works than he did. Let's go do those greater works because God is with us. The Lord is with us. But Jesus says, all right, that's amazing, but don't go yet. Tarry, which means wait, in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. You guys know the story. We just talked about it last, well, I don't know if we talked about it last Sunday, but last Sunday we celebrated the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, the Bible says in Acts that the disciples were in one accord. It was a group of disciples waiting for the promise of the Father. And they were in one accord. In other words, there was no division among them. In other words, we'll see today, there were no complaints. There were no offenses among them. They were all on the same page. And as I was looking at scriptures last night and getting ready for what I feel like the Lord has for us, it amazed me how many times the Apostle Paul talks about unity and division. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. If we want a Jesus movement, we got to put the movement, and we got to put Jesus before ourselves. How about I show you? Let me show you. I'm going to show them. Should I show them? You can't hear me. I'm going to show them. Before we get into it, John chapter 15, verse 15, because this is just amazing. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Wow. Jesus calls me friend, and not in like a, not like, and that's, listen, when Jesus calls us friend, it's not like a pet name. It's like, hey, friend, you shouldn't do that. No, like when he says friend, he means like friend, like someone you can confide in, someone you can trust, someone you can hang out with, someone you can like have fun with, someone that will correct you. Jesus is our friend. And a true friend has the best interest. Jesus also said later or earlier, he says, no greater love has anyone than this, than he would lay down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what it did. Jesus is like, hey, the greatest way anybody can love you is them literally giving their life for you. And then what does Jesus do? He literally gives his life for us. He says, this is what love looks like. Now let me show you. Isn't this amazing, guys? That Jesus would lay down his life for us. The Bible says, you know, very seldom would, you know, someone lay down their life for, like no one would lay down their life for an unrighteous man or a wicked person. And very seldom would someone lay down their life for a righteous person. But Jesus laid down his life for everyone. Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. Paul says that. He says that, you know, before we came into fellowship with God, we were in enmity. We were his enemies. And he laid down his life for us while we were still sinners. Amen. Amen. No longer do I, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. See, Jesus isn't saying, hey, just blindly follow me. No, he said, let's get into a relationship and let's do this together. And put your faith and trust. Instead of getting so caught up in the things that we're not sure about, let's get caught up in the things that we are sure about, that Jesus is my friend and that he is my provider and that he is my protector and that he is my guide and he is my Messiah, my Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are most effective when united. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Paul's talking to the church of Corinth, and people are starting to get into like these little, I guess, cliques or like these little groups of, you know, oh, like I'm a disciple of Paul, or I'm a disciple of Apollos. And people started getting divided because, you know, hey, I did a missionary trip with Paul, or hey, like I heard Paul's teachings about Jesus, and it started creating these divisions because people started to get pride up and puffed up because they started to say, you know, like my group is better because we were with Paul. And so we pick up right here where we leave off. So Paul tells the church of Corinth, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow. We're God's fellows. We're God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. God uses us to work in his kingdom. How amazing it is that God would use us in his kingdom. Amen. How amazing it is that God would choose us despite our faults, despite our mistakes, despite our shortcomings, despite our shame and our guilt. God puts his spirit in us, washes with his blood, makes us new and says, hey, let's do this again. Let's build my kingdom. Let's do something amazing and awesome together. Let's usher in a Jesus movement. But look at this. We In verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, someone had to plant, and someone had to water, and then God gave the increase. We got to work together, guys. It can't be, before COVID, Daniel and Candace, you know, they were very on purpose to meet all of you. I'm sure every single one of you guys, if you guys have been to our church, you guys have met either Candace or Daniel because they're on purpose. But just because it's their job to meet people doesn't mean it's not my job to meet people now. No, they're watering and they're planting, and I need to support them and water and plant with them and meet those same people and pray with those same people and ask them how they enjoy the service and make sure they have a cup of coffee and make sure they know where the restrooms are. We have to work together in this. But if I have... Never mind. I'm not going to get into it. Not yet. We are most effective when united. This is a good, bad example, or a bad, good example, however you want to take it. But the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel is, before we had all these different languages in Genesis, there was one language, so everyone was united, like completely united. And they endeavored within themselves that they were gonna build this high tower that reached the heavens, because they wanted to make a name for themselves. It was a tower built on pride. They just wanted to express how great they were. They were trying to do something great without God, and that's not good. That's never good. But check out what the Lord says here. And the Lord said, Genesis 11:6, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. That's crazy, right? That's pretty amazing. Like God said, because their unity is so strong, they can achieve anything. Now they're being led by their pride, which leads to, according to Proverbs, destruction. And so in God's mercy, he separated them. In God's mercy. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God was like, let's start over. No, in God's mercy, he confused them by switching up the languages and then spreading them out. That's crazy, though, that how God talks about their unity. Anything they propose to do, they can accomplish. How much more in the Spirit, when we are united under the banner of Jesus, can we accomplish? Amen. So back to Pentecost. So we just celebrated Pentecost. They were united. They were in one accord, waiting for the promise of the Father. And I was just thinking, like, wow, like, how? Like they were united. They were in one accord. And everyone who was, I don't know if this makes sense. Everyone who was in one accord was in that room. And more than likely, if they didn't agree with what was happening in that room, they probably weren't in that room. So there's people who missed out because they didn't disagree or there was division. But everyone who was on the same page, same accord, same prayer, same mindset, same Jesus, they were in that room and they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of those people in the upper room who were praying, waiting for the promise of the Father, every single one of them were there because of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who gave the command to wait in Jerusalem, and they were there waiting for the promise of the Father. My point is that unity is a byproduct of loving Jesus. Unity is a byproduct of pursuing Jesus. Amen? So let's talk about division, because this is what I feel like the Lord wants to combat today. Is if we want a Jesus movement, we have to be on the same page, guys. Amen? We all have to be united with our with our pastors, with our senior pastor, within ourselves. Division will, literally, like, division will cause us to not fulfill what God has for us. And it will even lead to disobedience. We'll see it. We'll get to that in a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. When I first read this, when I first read the first part, I started laughing because it sounds like, well, I'll read it to you. Now I plead with you, this is Paul talking to, again, church in Corinth. Now I plead to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. When I first read this, when I first read the first part, I started laughing because it sounded like Paul was saying, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, I don't know why, but I read it, now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of Jesus. And it's like, it sounded like Paul was saying, guys, I'm saying please in the name of Jesus. Like, I just thought it was funny. Like, in the name of Jesus, please. Like, I thought he was saying that. But he says, by the name of our Lord Jesus, which we all know the name of Christ has all power and all authority, right? So Paul's saying, now I plead with you that by the name, through Jesus, amen, through the name of Jesus, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. I'm going to share with you guys some scriptures from Paul talking to the different churches. Here he's talking to the church in Corinth, that there be no divisions among you. He's pleading. He's pleading with us. We cannot take lightly what Paul is pleading here. In Romans, this is Paul. So that was Paul talking to the church in Corinth. This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. Verse 16, verses 17 through 20. Now I urge you, brethren. So now he's not only pleading, but now to the church in Rome, he is urging. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. Everyone say, whoa, man. Not woman. Like, no. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. I'm reading the Bible. Avoid them. See, when if someone comes up to you like, you know, in my experience, Jesus doesn't always heal. That's division. In my experience, God cares. These are things that I've been told, by the way. In my experience, if you can't tithe 1 month because you're tight on finances, it's okay. That's division. That is contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Because here at Hope Community, we only teach what God says. Amen. We don't teach from our experience. We don't teach from our own philosophy. We don't teach from our own textbooks. No, we teach from the Word of God. Amen. It is the first pillar of our church. The Word of God is our final authority. Amen? Amen. Wow. It's kind of heavy, huh? Avoid them. See, because once someone confuses you on your theology, it messes with your obedience.
Yeah.
See, if someone said, you know, I prayed for this person and they didn't make it. Or I prayed for this and nothing happened. If that becomes my doctrine, I wouldn't be praying for you guys tonight. Because I'm thinking, what if it doesn't happen? Or worse, I'm going to start asking God, should I pray for people tonight? Are you going to heal them? When the Bible has already explicitly said, Jesus already explicitly said, I am willing. Amen. We cannot let people's experiences cause us to disobey. Whether it's with healing, whether it's with the tithe. Amen. So we saw what he says to the church in Corinth. We see what he says to the church in Rome. Rome. Let's see what he says to the church in Colossae? To the Colossian church. By the way, if you guys haven't read the book of Colossians, my gosh. Every time I read Colossians, I literally spend like half an hour rereading like a few verses in like the first chapter. Like, I don't know why, but Colossians is just so alive to me. Anyway, so this is Paul talking to the church, the Colossian church, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as the elect of God. Wow. Now, Paul is now pleading to their position. He's saying, hey, you guys are saved. You guys aren't just saved. You guys are the elect. You guys are God's chosen people. Man. Christians should probably act a certain way, right? Like, Christians probably shouldn't be the ones jumping from club to club, getting drunk. Can we all agree that pastors probably shouldn't be doing that? Yeah. It's like someone saying, hey, you're a pastor. You probably shouldn't be doing this. Paul's kind of in a similar way. He's saying, as the elect of God. I want to say, I am the elect of God. Let me say it a different way. God elected you. Oh, take that one in. God elected you. That is not a small thing, guys. I mean, given it only took one vote to bring you in, but still, you have 100% of God's vote. You not only have the electoral, you have the majority. Man, and you have a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Come on, somebody. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Oh, man. He's like, hey, you guys are Christians. You guys are elected by God. Man, put on some tender mercies. Put on some kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving. Oh, man. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must. That's his must, right? Yeah, that's his must. Must. Not you must do it if they admit to what they did, or you must do it because, you know, you guys are on good terms now, or you must do it because your parents are making you do it, or no. It's even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. In other words, Christ's forgiveness of our sins leads to the forgiveness of others. It's a byproduct of knowing Jesus. Freely you have received, you freely give. Amen. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Verse 14, but above, I want to say but. In kids me, I say, everyone say big but. All the kids get going, then you have a good time. Anyways. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond. Everyone say bond. It is a bond of perfection. Oof, man. I'm going to read that one again, if you don't mind. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And look at what this leads to. Because the next word is not 15. The next word is and. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And he throws in there, and be thankful. As in, have a good attitude about all this. Be thankful. Because you can't be thankful and complain at the same time. You can't. Yeah. Or else you're being fake. And Christians are not fake. We're real people going through real things, serving a real God. Yeah. And be thankful. So here's what I've learned from this passage. If we are to be one body, if we are to be united, we cannot have complaints against our brethren. We cannot have complaints against our pastors. Well, what if I do? Then go talk to them. Well, what if I don't agree with your doctrine? Then talk to Pastor Drew and bring your Bible. I hope that the pastors of this church don't come off so confident in what we know that it makes you feel like you guys can't talk to us about your experiences, or, you know, if you say, hey, I prayed and this is what happened, talk to me about it. Because more than likely, we've been where you are. Yeah. And we'll show you how to get on the Jesus movement, on the Jesus path, on the Jesus mentality, on the mind of Christ. Let us encourage you. Oh, and that's one thing that I felt the Holy Spirit say. I felt the Holy Spirit saying so many people are discouraged because they're divided. They're discouraged because they have divided themselves from their pastors, or they're discouraged because they have divided themselves with certain age groups or certain people in the church. And so we're called to, like Barnabas, son of encouragement. We're called to encourage each other. We're called to correct each other. But if we're divided, it diminishes that. There's no safe space for us to say, hey, you offended me. Can we talk about it? Let's get right with Jesus. The reason the outdoor project was funded was because people came in one accord and say, I will support this. If everyone was divided on the outdoor project, it wouldn't have gotten funded. But because we're one body and we submit to our pastors as our shepherd, and he says, this is where we're going, then our job is to be united and say, Pastor, this is where we're going. Because it's not Pastor Drew saying, church, this is where we're going. No, it's us saying, church, this is where we're going. It's a different mentality, because this is your church. Sorry, this isn't your church. I'm sorry. It's God's church. Yes, it's God's church. Guys, you are the church. You are whole community. I'm not whole community. This guy's not whole community. This building is not whole community. The people in this congregation, you are whole community. And we need to be in one accord for us to accomplish what God has called us to do. Listen, we've gotten this far, and I would say pretty far, on the unity that we have now. But imagine if every single person in this church was on the same page. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. What if every single person here is just gathered under the name of Jesus to glorify him instead of criticize everything that we do or criticize what other people are doing? Church, we need to value unity more than we value our comfort. We need to value unity more than we value gossiping. We need to value unity more than we value our experience. We need to value unity more than we value us appearing strong or appearing tough or appearing like we have it all together. Listen, I know none of you guys have it all together. And that's okay. Because Jesus puts us back together. Amen. So he talks to the church in Corinth about unity. He talks to the church in Rome about the unity. I feel like every time I say Rome now, I'm going to say it. Anyways, he talks to the Colossian church. Now we're going to go to the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Oh man, same thing. He's saying the same thing. Walk worthy of the calling. You have been elected. Now act like it. Amen. Guys, that's very loving. That's a very loving thing when God says, stop acting immature. Yeah. I think all of us, and listen, I love Pastor Drew. I love him in all the times that he's told me good job, and I love him in all the times he's told me to stop acting like a fool. And trust me, there's been a few strong times where he's said, he never cussed at me. I've never heard him say a bad word. But he was very stern with me. Pastor Drew does a really good job of being really, really, really strong, but very loving at the same time. There's been many times where he says, hey, pretty much saying, hey, can you just be a man? Yes, sir. I'll do that. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity, eager. Everyone say eager. See, it's not a drag, it's not an exhaustion, it's not stressful. It's something that we should be eager to do. Man, some of us are so eager to get a prophetic word. Can we be eager about giving? Can we be eager about funding the kingdom of God? Can we be eager about, you know, forgiving? Can we be eager about being united? That's what he's saying. I'm gonna take a 1 minute tangent, if that's okay. Never mind. Maybe later. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Can I just say this? People can tell, and they will tell, how united we are as we lift up the name of Jesus. I can prove it to you. Have you ever walked into a room and you just felt a tension in the room? Like, whoa, there's people in here who do not like each other. Anybody? How much more in the Spirit can people walk into the room and feel the bonds of peace? Or in the church in Rome, I think, or in Colossians, talks about like how love is what bonds us together. What if every single new person that came in couldn't help but just jump in and be united with us? Because they were so overwhelmed with love and peace that they don't want to go back to stress and anxiety. What if when people walked in, they just encountered it through you? Really, it's encountering Jesus, where they literally cannot help but fall in love with Jesus and give their life to him. You see how strong unity can be? But if someone walks into the church and like, man, all the young people are over there, all the not so young people are over there, I guess I belong over there. Or they walk in and there's groups here and there's groups there, and you're now it's like you're back in high school, like, where do I sit? But what if the moment you walked in, everyone's friendly, there's a unity of love and peace? It draws people in. At the end of the day, it's what we're looking for. It's how God created us. God, we forget that God's the one who created the church. Jesus is the one who instituted the church. God himself is community. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they work together as one. And we're called to work together as one. I haven't even finished Ephesians. Okay. There's verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit. Amen. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and all. Wow, that's a lot of all. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Amen. So we've heard from Paul today. Let's hear from Jude. Jude chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude chapter 1. We'll start with verse 16. Actually, yeah, we're verse 16. This is pretty heavy, actually, because Jude is talking about apostates, or he's talking about people who were once in the kingdom of God and now they're out doing their own thing. Actually, this is literally, he's talking about people who left the church or left. They left their relationship with Jesus, pretty much. So it starts right here, verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Ew.
That was just an ugly sentence.
Verse 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which are spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. I'm going to echo what Paul said. Avoid them. I want to be honest with you. We've had those people here. I've literally had... Don't judge me, all right? Everything that happened before I became an intern, it's like, you know, I was like learning how to like crawl or something. Like, it's just... I learned so much before I became an intern as far as like how people are. You guys are probably so confused right now. Let me just explain to you. Because when I became an intern, I became very attached to my pastors. And our pastors are really great at, you know, keeping us in check and making sure that we're honoring. And not because it's self-serving, but because that's how the elect act. Amen? But I literally remember leaders in this church and they don't come here anymore, and I don't even know where they are anymore. It doesn't matter. So don't try to figure out who they are. But leaders in the church trying to get me to help them start their own ministry outside of this church, having Bible studies at the Pico Rivera Town Center, which no other pastor was there at, by the way. No church leader was there. It was me and like a couple of other young people who had just started coming to this church. They're also known as wolves among sheep, by the way, or wolves in sheep clothing. And then here's what they told me. Here's literally what they told me. This is before I was an intern, before any of this, really. Here's what they said. They said, Pastor Drew and Pastor Paul are holding you back. You have so much potential in you. There's so many things you can do. We'd like you to help us with this ministry. Another time, this other young man said the exact same thing. He's like, hey, I'm going to go to the East Coast. And he didn't just tell me, he told other young guys in the church too. He's like, hey, I'm going to the East Coast and we're going to go do evangelism and like these fire tunnels and all these things. We're going to go to all the Ivy Leagues and get a bunch of people saved. I think you should go. I feel like the Lord's saying you should go. No, he's not.
I'll get you.
And here's the thing. None of it came from my pastors. None of it came from my leaders. They came from people who were literally here once or twice or here for like a few months and trying to steal people. Guys, I could have gotten stolen. I could have gotten robbed of my destiny. That's crazy, huh? That is nuts. But I'm glad I said no. I'm glad I gave up my life and became an intern. One of the best decisions of my life was to completely give my life to this church. And that's the truth. But there's people, and I pray it's no one in the church, but because it can come up in the parking lot, it can come up, I don't know. But we need to strive and be eager and plead for unity. Amen? Man. I'm gonna end with this, and then we'll pray for people. So, I haven't been looking at the comments. I'm sorry. I kind of was. I saw Lorenzo's comment about my face. It fell off. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Things just happen. So, but if you guys need prayer for healing, put it in the comments right now because I'll start reading them. But I'm going to give you guys one more scripture, Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 30. I'm sure many of you guys were thinking this anyway, but I'm going to read it. Verse 25, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. This doesn't just apply to our church. Like, this church will not stand unless we are united with our pastors. Like, that is a fact. But you, within yourself, will not stand unless you have wholeness within you. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's been so frustrated going back and forth with the spirit and the flesh. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what my flesh wants to do. That division causes so much guilt, shame, and condemnation. And I want to tell you tonight, just, man, give up on the flesh and just jump in into the river of God. Fall, and how do you do that? Fall in love with Jesus. Yeah, but I messed up today. Just continue falling in with Jesus. I like what Candace said earlier in the Soul's devotional. Man, if you spent as much time as you did on your makeup as you did with the Lord, if you spend as much time getting the Lord's attention instead of people's attention on Instagram, how much different would your life be? Wow, that was good. We post on Instagram because we want the attention. We want people to see us. And God's there already looking at you going, hey, I've been looking at you the entire time. Can you turn around and look at me back? Yeah. It's not because God wants our attention. It's because he wants our heart. Amen. And whatever we put our attention on becomes our intention. It really does. Growing up, you can ask... you can ask... I have a... I don't think so anymore. You can ask Pastor Vegas. But because I'm going to speak life. I used to have a bad habit of... I'm a really bad impulse buyer. I'm a really bad impulse buyer. I'll think about a laptop on Monday, talk about it on Tuesday, buy it on Wednesday. And what happened, and it's not because I've been thinking about it for months, it's because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's all I thought about. And my mind goes, and I think about it so much that my whole being is convinced I need this laptop or tablet. You know how many tablets I've gone through? I've literally bought a tablet, returned it like 2 weeks later, several times in my life. Whatever your attention is focused on, that becomes your intention. It really does. If you're scrolling through Instagram, seeing things you shouldn't be looking at, it becomes your intention. See, I got that text too. Unity. Everyone say unity. So this church cannot stand without us being united. Same way you can't stand unless you're one with the Lord. You just can't. And I'll end with this thought. In this one, verse 30, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus also said this. He said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. As in, if you're not all in, you're not in at all. For us to have unity in this church, we have to be all in with Jesus and all in with his calling for us. Because if you're called to this church, it means you have a purpose and a calling in this church. The church isn't made up of warm butts in seats. The church is made up of, again, Matthew chapter, so check this out, man. I hope you guys don't mind. I might go like a few minutes over. If you guys need to go, that's fine. Well, not you guys. You guys have to stay. I'm talking about people online. Back to Matthew chapter 9. Jesus spends a whole chapter healing, recruiting disciples, healing. And at the end of this chapter, Matthew chapter 9, go read it. It's amazing. If you read it on Monday, great. Go read it again. At the end, Jesus says... That's when he says, you know, the harvest is white. Like, the harvest is ready. It's like, you cannot walk out there and not grab some fruit. Like, it's impossible. Like, it's so ripe, it'll come out of your nose. He says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers, those who work, are few. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into that harvest. Guys, we are the laborers. We need to laboriously labor in the kingdom. Amen? And he's called every single one of us to do it. So if you're called to this church, listen, we're not called to sit in chairs. We're called to make a difference in this community. And that involves sitting in our chairs, yes. Keeping our butts warm. Amen. But we're called to labor, guys. We're called to contend. We're called to do something. The Bible says that we were created for good works that he prepared beforehand, before the foundations of the world. So he says, he who is not with me is against me. You're called to this church. You're called to be in the family of God. You need to be all in. And here's the thing. In order for you to be all in, your flesh man needs to be all out. And for some of us, in order for us to be all in, it means we got to start talking to certain family members. And I'm not saying, like, be mean to them or be angry with them. I'm saying, you know, you probably maybe people that aren't in the church aren't the people you should be going to for marriage advice. Or the people who, you know, or the people who were your best friends in high school who still drink and still smoke, maybe they're not the best people to go for financial advice. My point is you cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend with God. Yeah. What does light have to do with darkness? Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it right there. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes.
We need to contend for this unity. Are you offended? Make it right, guys. Make it right. Because that's going to keep you from a blessing, I promise you. I promise you, offense will keep you from God's blessings. Do you have something against the leader? Make it right. If you have something against me, come talk to me. I'm nice. Right? Come talk to me. Come talk to us. Come talk to Pastor Shayla, Pastor Vegas, Pastor Paul, Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara, Pastor George and Lydia. We love the same God. And it's not flesh and flesh, guys. It's spirit and spirit with Jesus in the middle. If we have a qualm, if we have a comment, if you have a question, it's all right. Let's deal with it together in Jesus with the Word of God, and it's going to be all right. And we'll be closer together for it. We'll be more united. Amen?
Amen.
Can we value our unity over our offenses? Because if we value unity over our offenses, then we will do everything we can to get rid of those offenses. If we value unity over our experience, then we'll do everything we can to conform our mind to the Word of God and not our experience. And that may involve going to your pastors and saying, hey, I don't agree with this doctrine. Can you help me? Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this word on unity, God. That it is not a condemning word, but it is a convicting word that propels us through your grace to become united in letting go what our flesh wants to hold on to. Whether offenses or experiences or wrong doctrines, Lord, we don't want any of that. We want nothing but your spirit, and your spirit is a spirit of unity in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you for that. All right, so let's pray for some healings. All right, so we pray for Isaiah Castro right now in the name of Jesus. We command the spirit of anxiety to leave his body right now in the name of Jesus, and we fill him with the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that raises Isaiah's joy and peace right now in his heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. One more time. Lisa, Sister Gloria, praying for healing. We pray for healing of her heart right now in the name of Jesus. Healing of any blood vessels, Lord. Healing of any issues with her arteries, God. We pray that those are healed right now in the name of Jesus. Any issues with her extremities, Lord. Any issues with her fingers or hands, Lord. We pray those to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know what the name was, but I'm not going to say the name. Someone's sister to come back to the Lord in the name of Jesus. I see Anthony Araujo. Oh, Big A. Or Mr. D, I like to call him. We pray for Anthony Araujo. We pray that his headache is gone right now in the name of Jesus. We think that he is a man of God, and as a man of God, as a child of God, he has accesses. They all have access to your promises. And so we ask the promise of healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the headache is gone right now, Lord. We thank you for Pat's friend and her family for healing their heart, their peace, for comfort and peace in that family, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. If you're in this room, just start saying the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for Rebecca's mom's back and legs, that they are healed right now in the name of Jesus. We say back be made straight and legs be strengthened, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We just command complete healing in our body, Lord. We thank you that her we loosen the muscles, Lord, and we heal the joints and the pains, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We heal any discs, Lord, any pinched nerves, God, in her body. We command them to be made straight and be completely healed right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.